You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Kelso, Lingfield and Chelmsford on this edition. We've also got a jumps meeting over at Leicester. There's racing in Ireland over at Clonmel and we'll be taking selected races from the Maidan Carnival as well on Thursday afternoon. You can hear all the action live from 1:15pm with Stephen Powell, John Babb and Chris Pimlott in the studio on Thursday. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, is the aforementioned Mr. Babb. How are you, John?
Yeah, good, thank you.
As well as one can be when you support Wolves at the moment.
Yeah, when you spend your Valentine's night watching Wigan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, love. Wigan comes first.
Yeah, you can't even sell it as a great game.
No,
you can't.
No, not at all. It was pretty awful.
Indeed. At least we've got the racing to distract us, though, John. We also had the Grand National weights were announced yesterday evening, and almost passed me by, rather, the fact that it was on a Tuesday night, which seemed an interesting decision. There was Champions League football on, there was other sporting conflicts as well, and we were saying off air, you made a very good point that Trevor Hemmings made about how difficult that was for Northern trainers and getting back from the weights announcement to, well, presumably, work the horses early in the morning Wednesday.
I mean, getting back to some areas of the country on a night isn't that easy, and what, you know, this, it seems that these things always have to be held in London. Quite why I don't know. I mean, an area, a hotel, something like the Metropole, centrally based in the country, would seem to make far more even sense for everyone. I mean, a lot of Northern trainers, obviously the race is in the north of England for a start off, and a lot of Northern trainers do support the race very well, and Trevor Hemmings himself has been a massive supporter and winner of the race. And he made the comment, and I understand he's talking as well, from even just from his home point of view as an owner, about getting back home or having to have the choice of staying overnight in London, and make it almost then becomes a 2-day event that his diary doesn't really warrant. And trainers often, I know not every trainer will be Wednesday, Saturday, but a lot of trainers are Wednesday, Saturday for their work. I would have thought a lunchtime, and particularly perhaps the easiest day would be Monday, because Monday tends to be a very much an easier day as regards the horses, and most trainers will be happy leaving their head lads in charge, etc., on a Monday when horses are, after the weekend, having a cant, steady canters, and it's a much quieter work day at a racing yard, and generally a quieter day on the racing calendar as well with the fixtures. Why it can't be on a Monday lunchtime and make the life a lot easier. People can travel down Monday morning and they can be back home in their own beds on Monday night, ready for work again on Tuesday. And it just takes one day. And if it does matter that it clashes with other sporting events, it's very unlikely it's going to clash with anything on a Monday lunchtime.
Yeah, correct. Do you think any of the target audience was missed having it on Tuesday night? Or do you think it's more of a case of people who are interested in it are going to watch it? Well, regardless of when it is,
I think the other thing is obviously your biggest paper, whether you're a lover of it or not, or your biggest media thing for racing is still the Racing Post.
Yes.
And I think having it in the evening is getting the news out. It's okay as regards the website, etc., but for the actual hard paper, It becomes very difficult for them, because they can't really get the information out from an evening. The news is a little bit old hat for what is the prime media source for racing, and I don't think that's particularly great either. You want to be sort of marrying up with them in terms of getting that news out to your public.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. In terms of the actual weights, Gordon Elliott's Outlander has been given top weight for the race. He's got 11 of the top 40 entries, although he did pretty much rule Outlander out immediately after the weights were announced. Away from the jump scene then, John, in terms of your own personal clutch of runners, how are they going? I saw Sir Billy Wright get his head in front a couple of weeks ago at Southall.
Yeah, he did. It was quite pleasing, really. I thought he'd need the run. He hadn't won at Southall before, although he hadn't won under Clifford Lee, he had gone well for that rider in the autumn, and they struck up a great relationship again. And I think he has come back even though he is a bull of a horse, bigger and stronger than ever before. And at the age of six, he might just be coming to his peak. To be honest, he did have a few little ailments and niggles when he was a younger horse, and when he was three and four for us, his legs weren't the best, but he just seemed to get in beginning that little bit sounder, touch wood. Hopefully he can have a decent year for us.
Yeah, hopefully so. And how are all the others?
Dugan runs on Saturday in the sprint handicap there. He probably needs to win that race, in all fairness, to be able to have any chances at all of getting into and to be even really worth warranting an entry for all-weather finals day. We've got Adam Kirby riding, but he would need a good draw, and he would need some pace in the race. But we won't know till tomorrow exactly what the situation is with draw and opposition. So, yeah. Otherwise, things are going okay. Yeah, I've been quite pleased with Daily Trader as well since we purchased
him. Right. Yeah.
And he's gone well. So.
Good stuff. We'll move on then to Thursday's racing. We've got four races to look at on Thursday, three on the flat, and we've got one over hurdles at Kelso. We begin with the hurdles race then at Kelso. This is a handicap hurdle there, 3:35. Seven runners are going down for this one. An extended 2 mile, 6 furlong is the trip. And I suppose the top weight here, John, leaps off the page, chasing a hat-trick for Sandy Thompson, and has won track and trip before here at Kelso.
You've obviously read my script. Would have to be my selection there, Rowdy Rocha. I mean, Rachel McDonald, you say, struck up a real good partnership with the horse. Hasn't been heavily penalised, really, and still running a similar grade. The track, no problem. The ground, no problem. And gets beyond the distance as well. Stays 3 mile well enough. And there's enough questions to answer about one or two of the others. Probably got their better form at other tracks. Particularly, say Rhymer Stone, who's probably got better form at Newcastle. Jury out be about out about hot, top billing after the way it ran last time and was pulled up. So there's a lot to like about Rowdy Rocha from the Thompson Yard, and definitely would be my selection.
Rowdy Rocha, then, the former course and distance winner, gets the nod for John in that 3:35 at Kelso. We move on to some action on the all weather now, beginning at Lingfield with their 3:55 race. This is a condition stakes over a mile and a half. Just six runners line up to contest this. And as with most condition stakes on the all weather, John, we've got a pretty small field, but quite a nice select one as well. It doesn't look a bad little race.
No, not at all. Got some interesting horses. I mean, Retrieve, I don't know how they're going to bet in this race. I should think, but Retrieve, for a horse with his rating, he's still officially got a rating of 100, but I would expect him to be quite easy to back. He was purchased in the autumn for £800 and running a claimer last time.
£800?
Yeah, £800. Yeah,
fit my budget, that.
Yeah, he was rated, I think he was rated 107 at the sale, and he got purchased for £800. Right. Running a claimer at Southall, reasonably well beaten. He's going to struggle here, but he's just a strange one. But bought by the Melbourne 10. Calling out, I'd been running moderately before being given a very good ride by Jamie Spencer at Wolverhampton, winning a small field race there. Would have a chance if he can repeat the dose on a different track. Waters Meet and Rocksteady, I think they were the form to look at. They met at Wolverhampton, and Watersmeet came out on top. His form at this track, possibly not quite as good as at other tracks, Watersmeet, but he'll probably be the front runner in the race. But I do prefer Rocksteady in this race. I think he'll reverse the form. And he's run there behind Pinzolo at this track. I think that's very good, very decent form, and well up to winning this. Kieran Schumacher gets on well with the horse. He knows the horse quite well. Can't claim his £3 in this race, unfortunately. But I think the fact that he knows the horse will be the added bonus there. And I'll take Rocksteady for Roger Charlton and Kieran Schumacher to reverse the form with Watersmeet.
Okay, Rocksteady then, the choice for John, who's been in the first two in his last eight races, started that off a mark of 79, now all the way up to 99, and still looks fairly competitive off this mark. Rocksteady then is the choice in that condition stakes at Lingfield. We'll go over to Chelmsford City then for a couple of races there, beginning with the 7 o'clock, which is a 2 mile handicap. Stamina, the order of the day here. And again, it's not bad prize money for Chelmsford, as it's continued to be since they opened the track.
Yeah, apart from the odd meeting where the prize money hasn't quite stacked up. I don't know whether it wasn't Levy supported or something at one or two of the meetings, but you're right. You look at the prize money for the greater race, it is out of sync sometimes with other tracks. Still doesn't always get the support, though, some of the racing.
Yes.
Quite oddly. The 7 o'clock's not too bad. It isn't a full field. And possibly be a question mark over Zakatal's participation after running at Newcastle yesterday. Aldreth would be one that would spring to mind there. Won here recently from beats the sort of core specialist Bracken Bray. Mark Tompkins also got a particularly good record at Chelmsford. And that form reads well. And coming back to this track, he's going to be a danger. Mick Easterby's done well, really, at Chelmsford. Didn't think it'd be a track that he would support that much, but he has done and done well here. But the horse I'm going to just take in preference to him is the top horse here, Jamie Osborne's Silver Key, who ran a real nice race last week under Adam Kirby. It was beaten by Alfonso de Souza. But it stayed on really strongly up the home straight there and looked in real good form. And George Baker takes over today. He's ridden the horse before and previously. And I do think the horse probably needs that kind of a ride. It's not probably an ideal Chelmsford ride, but I do think the horse looks in real good terms. Got a decent draw in stall three. I'd expect George Baker to take the paint off the rails all the way around and play him in the straight and probably hopefully be chasing home Aldreth too, and successfully too.
Okay. Silver Key then, the cheap pieces came on as well last time out at Lingfield. They're retained with today. Yeah. Is that an angle you play, the headgear? Seemed to be his best run for a while last time out in the first time pieces.
It did. I didn't particularly think that the horse was desperately in need of them, but they certainly didn't do any harm. And he did come home really well, and a horse that looked in real good form at the moment. Stable are going okay. I looked down there, the looks of those one or two coming back off layoffs that are possibly going to need the run or being lined up for maybe a run over jumps, the likes of Duke Street, or horses that probably got more the turf in mind in April. So I think this is the day for Silver Key.
Silver Key then gets the nod in that 2 mile handicap for John at 7 o'clock. We stay at Chelmsford then for the final race on today's podcast, which is the 8 o'clock race, a handicap here over 7 furlongs this time. Field of 14 line up for it. Plenty to go at here, John. What caught the eye?
Yeah, horse that, again, I wouldn't class him. I was actually waiting for this horse to go back to Newcastle, to be honest with you. But he was very, very unlucky 7 days ago. Mr. Potter from the Richard Guest Yard didn't really get a run at all when he wanted one. Again, like the last run of Silver Key, not got a bad draw, stall three. I do like the horses that can go round the track on the inside for the majority of the race. And at least, they've got a position to play off the home turn. And that's what I expect with Mr. Potter. And just hope that he gets a little bit more luck in running than he did last week. Another horse that does in the race that would be of interest a little bit would be Limerick Lord. When he ran here last week, he was basically running in trap 14. He was really, really wide on the track all the way up the straight. But stayed on well to the line and drawn in six today with Shelley Burkett. That would be my main danger. I will probably end up playing both of those horses in that race, depending on their prices. Or I might, if I only like one of them, I might only play one of them. But they're the two that really, really jump out the page. There's a lot of four horses in this race that are really in no form at all, to be honest, and other horses that are coming off breaks that sort of in excess of 40, 50 days that don't really appeal. So the two horses that for me that are race fit in there, Mr. Potter and Limerick Lord.
Two against the field there then for John, Mr. Potter and Limerick Lord in that 8 o'clock race at Chelmsford. Just give us a quick recap then, please, if you wouldn't mind, of your four selections for the four races we've looked at on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, I'll go 3:35 at Kelso. I'm going for Rowdy Rocher from the Sandy Thompson Yard. At Lingfield in the 3:55, I'm going for Rocksteady, Roger Charlton's. And in the 7 o'clock at Chelmsford, I'm going for Jamie Osborne's Silver Key. And in the 8 o'clock, I'm just going to go I'm going to favour Mr. Potter, but I am going to split that stake with Limerick Lord.
OK, excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of John Babb ahead of Thursday's racing. And you can hear all of it live with John in the studio alongside Stephen Powell and Chris Pimlott from 1:15pm with Kelso, Leicester, Lingfield and Chelmsford on the agenda. Clonmel and Maidan also race on Thursday. Thank you very much for that, John. Pleasure as always, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.